What's going on, everybody? How are we doing today? Today's podcast is brought to you by the Twitter poll that we're running right now to see what movie you want to see me and Dan and maybe JC, maybe Sternick. We don't know. Who's all going to be on this? We don't know yet. But there is a Twitter poll for you to go vote. If you don't have Twitter, you can find it on my Facebook. And if you don't have Facebook, how about Instagram? You could DM me. Tell me what movie you want to see us break down. There is the options of Fast and Furious 8, Deep Blue Sea, Face Off with Nicolas Cage, and Daredevil, the Ben Affleck version. As of right now, it's been up for like 3 hours, and Fast and Furious 8 is leading the pack at 36% of the votes. Face Off is second at 29%, Daredevil 21%, and Deep Blue Sea 14%. Go vote on that, and we're going to break down the movie. We're going to watch it, take notes, and talk about what's ridiculous in these movies, and just it'll be fun. It'll be funny, and we're basically just going to talk shit for an hour about one of these movies. So go vote on which one you want to see us break down. Today's episode is basically going to be what I saw on Twitter and the subtle art of not giving a fuck. All right, it's gonna be fun, and I hope you guys enjoy it. What's up, guys? What is happening? How you guys doing today? Sunday, just watched Tiger lose in heartbreaking fashion. He was right there all the way up until the end. That was, I'll tell you what, actually. Watching a solid, well-playing Tiger Woods that's in the hunt to win a game, a championship, whatever they call it, tournament. I would rather watch that than most other professional sports. I mean, obviously there's exceptions, but like, if it's that or like any regular season game, I would rather watch Tiger Woods play. There's something almost that's like electric that guy has. It's crazy. And I mean, he's one of the best to do it. I root for him every chance. Every time Tiger's playing, I'm rooting for him. I want to see him win again. After all that shit that happened, I want to see him win again. I know his back is Fooksville, but you may say I'm a dreamer. But I'm not. If you know what that's from, kudos. Hey, how about when people talk about like how sweet their mom is or how sweet moms are? And it's like, dude, no shit. This guy, one of the guys that I follow, tweeted, "Nothing in this world like a mom. Remember that." Hey, man, no shit. And what also infuriates me about that is that it got 450 likes and 100 retweets. Like, dude, no shit. There's obviously there's nothing in this world like a mom. Thanks for the reminder. It's like saying, you need water to survive. Remember that. I couldn't imagine what it would be like to not have, like be close with my mom. Or, like, even if people that their mom passed away. You know what I mean? Like, if your mom passed away, that's awful, first of all. And I'm sorry. But this is not going off to a good start, is it? No, it's not. You get what I'm trying to say, though, I think, or probably not. Sometimes when Dan doesn't get what I'm trying to say, he'll just tell me straight up, like, yeah, I'm not getting what you're trying to say. He'll text me, and I'll be like, what are you talking about? And then he'll say, in your podcast, blah, 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 you said this, and I don't understand. And just roast me. Hey, man. I tried. But what I'm trying to say is that, like, all I'm trying to say is that it's obvious. To tweet that out, it's obvious. And I just tweeted back something stupid that doesn't get any attention. My stuff never gets any attention, man. It bothers me. Deep down, it does. Because I have an ego. We all have egos. I'm trying to calm my ego. I still have one, though. Right? You guys have one. When you think that you said something funny, that's the worst. When you think you said something funny and it gets no response, that is so miserable, isn't it? Ugh. There's not much like saying something and getting nothing. Whatever. Like this. Dude, I was watching the news, and you know how Trump wants to have a space force for our what is that, the sixth branch of military? Sixth or seventh? I don't know. I should probably figure that out before I start talking shit. But yeah, he wants to have a space force, and the news was basically, you can go vote. Trump wants you to go vote as what logo to pick. So we're in a fucking video game. And it's real life. We're in a real life version of, like, The Sims, if it was amped up a little bit. Trump wants you to go vote on which logo to pick for the fucking Space Force. And I tweeted, Supreme Ruler Trump needs you to go vote on a logo for the United States Space Force. With, like, the different logos. Nothing. Nah. It's so frustrating. Whatever, though. You know, you can't win them all, right? I don't know what I'm trying to say. What did I have in my notes to talk about today? Oh, yeah. The UFC in Madison Square Garden. This is the one, I think that has, is this the one with Diaz on it? I believe so, yeah. So, the Diaz fight is not a main event. The Diaz-Poirier is not the main event. So, there's no main event. So, I was thinking and I was reading some shit and I've convinced myself completely. I don't know if I'm going to convince you. Hear me out. So, let's say there's four guys in the UFC that could really make a fight card that everybody's going to watch. And everybody's going to do everything they can to watch. There's four guys. There's Conor. He's already got a fight with Khabib. There's Lesnar. He's on all the steroids. I don't know what they're doing. He's got a kind of a fight planned out with DC. There's Diaz, who's on this card. And then there's a guy named John Jones. Now, I know what you're saying. We don't know what John Jones is doing. We don't even know when he's coming back, if he's coming back soon, if he's not coming back soon. But I follow John Jones on social media. He's been more active on social media in the past month or so than he's probably been in the past year. Also, he's from New York. And the UFC just announced all those fights at the last press conference. And they obviously have something more to announce. You know? Name someone else with more star power that has a chance to fight in that at that card. Has a chance. GSP, but he's not fighting. Right? Connor, Lesnar, John, and Nate. Three of those four guys you can't get for the main event. There's one guy that could bring, and the Madison Square Garden fights, those are usually complete bangers. And, I mean, I guess you could say Holloway Ortega is the only other fight I could see them putting in there, right? But I just think the UFC, if they want to drop a bomb for the Madison Square Garden card, I don't know which one that, I think it's like, was it 229 or 230? I don't know which one it is. But the November, right? Man, could you imagine at the next press conference or the Connor press conference, if it is the November one, if they announced that it was going to be John Jones fighting, I mean, really anyone. Let's not have him fight DC again. Don't want to see that. But, my goodness gracious. Great googly moogly. That would be an amazing fight card. And then the co-main event, Diaz Poirier? You kidding me? Unless it's Holloway Ortega, which is a good possibility. But, you know, we still don't know about a suspension. I'm just saying. I said he's been more active on social media, but he seems happier also than he was the past year, obviously, with what was going on. He seems in a better mood. Just go look at the past things he's been posting. All about, actually, I was going to say all about how he's coming back and he's not done. But he says that every year because he's always fucking suspended. The past, like, 5 years, he's been suspended. So the past 5 years, or 4 years, whatever you want to say, 6 years, 7 years, however long he's been suspended, it's been so damn long, I can't even think, has been him talking about how he's coming back. And obviously, we all want him back. I can't see Lesnar fighting. He can't get past the Golden Snitch. But Jeff Nowitzki is the Golden Snitch, by the way. I don't know. How sick would that be, though? John Jones fighting again? We need him back. The UFC needs a star back so bad. And I got, you'd be like, yeah, Connor's back. But Connor's on a different set of rules than everybody else in the UFC. That dude's he's picking and choosing whose head he wants to take off. I'm not saying it's happening. I'm just saying, what if, right? Man, that would be sick. Yeah, I don't know. I just finished, not just finished, but I just recently finished The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, which might be one of the best books I've ever read. Honestly, like, one of the best books. I am a sucker for the self-help books, and I get it, they're not for everyone. But if you do like the self-help books, I highly recommend it. One part of it, I don't even know how much. I might have taken too many notes on this. Oh, no. We got about 2-3 pages. He was talking about, like, the story of Buddha. Basically, how he was born with a silver spoon. Everything was given to him, and he was still miserable. And he gave it all up, you know, lived as a poor person, and he was miserable for a little bit. And, like, the idea that happiness is an algorithmic, like, is an algorithm is a problem, you know? Like, if you're with person A, you're happy. If you're working at C, you're happy. And so on. But that's not really true. Basically, what this book is talking about is you're going to have problems, right? You're going to have problems in your life. LeBron has problems. Those are good problems. I have problems? Okay, LeBron's money problems, those are good problems that he has. Where's he going to donate? That's a good problem. I have money problems? Those are bad money problems. I need a sponsor from a podcast. I need gas for the week. I need to eat food, you know? Those are bad problems. He has good problems. I have bad problems. Still problems. But, like, the whole goal of this book is seek out good problems. And we're all kind of seeking, like, the idea is to seek a life without problems instead of a life with good problems. You know, any problem that you're gonna solve in your life, all that's doing is setting up a new problem. And, if you're in, like, denial that you have problems, or if you're always playing that victim card, saying, like, oh, this shit always happens to me, that's fucking things up. You're gonna fuck things up. If that's your mindset, like, you're in denial of how bad things are, or you're always the victim, those are equally bad things. You gotta choose your struggle, right? You gotta find what you will suffer from. Like, what are you gonna suffer through to achieve that goal? What I mean is, like, the podcast. I fucking love the struggle of trying to get people to listen. I love it and I hate it. I hate it because I feel like it's entertaining, but I love it because it's a challenge that it just drives me. Like, trying to get more people to listen to it, you know, does that make sense? Just the idea of, like, I just want that struggle. That's one that I'm willing to suffer through to achieve having a better podcast, a bigger audience. And also, I think the bigger the struggle, the bigger the reward. And vice versa. If you have a little struggle, you're not going to get rewarded. Because happiness, it requires some sort of struggle. Some sort of struggle is going to require, happiness is going to require some sort of struggle. Like, the people that have everything handed to them, I truly don't think that they're that happy. They didn't work for anything. They don't have any sort of, like, pride. Unless they don't have that gene where you seek out pride, I guess. I don't know, basically they're just talking about, like, you need to have some type of problem, and you need to, like, I've been so busy lately, and I fucking love it. I've been happier, because I'm always, like, if I'm not at work, I'm doing something, I'm selling something. If I'm not selling something, I'm doing yard work. If I'm not doing yard work, I'm working out. If I sit down and I get, like, a little bit of TV time, it's nice, but I don't want my whole day to be binge watching the fucking Office. I want to sit down, I want to watch a couple of episodes, and then I want to start that shit over. And also, like you are not special. I am not special. Everyone knows somebody everybody knows somebody that always has, quote unquote, a plan, right? They have a fucking new business. They have a new lifestyle, etc. That person who's all talk and doesn't take any walk, right? That person that, oh my God, I have this great idea, but they never execute. Or they try, they start to execute, and then it's a new fucking, it's a new lifestyle. It's something new. That could be from everybody getting a trophy, right? Hear me out. Everyone built up to think we're special, but we're not, right? We have so much self-esteem. That's not that good. Not everybody is special. Like, that leads to people thinking they're brilliant. If everybody's getting treated the same and everybody's getting that trophy, that ribbon, everybody's going to think they're brilliant. Even if that kid struck out every time he was at bat, that kid doesn't deserve his trophy. How about that? Or like, that, you know what else that leads to? 25-year-old life coaches with no / little accomplished in life. Dude, if you're under 30, if you're under 40 years old, you should not be a life coach or an influencer. What have you done? What have you accomplished in life? If you're a chick on Instagram and you're a fitness model, that's cool. But don't call yourself a life coach. Don't call yourself an influencer. You're not. What are you influencing? Think about that. What? I'm not attacking people. I'm saying, what are you influencing? What are you gonna? How are you gonna coach me on life if we're the same age? We've basically been through the same thing. With a couple, you went down this road, I went down that road. But basically, it's the same. It's like entitlement. It's dangerous, man. It's a delusional way of seeing the world when you're entitled. And I take it from me. I used to be the most entitled, thinking I should just get everything. That I was always the victim. Then I read this fucking book. Screw that. What you do, it reflects you. You can change your life if you want, or you could fucking just accept what is coming to you. And you're going to be miserable, man. Entitlement makes you feel happy for a little bit, but it's not happiness. Entitlement is like, it's like a high. It's not happiness. Right? Self-worth, you know, admitting your faults. That's where you could get happiness. Entitlement is just doing anything to feel good. Instead of admitting your faults. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, we're all pretty average. At the end of the day, we're all pretty average. Besides, like, Elon Musk, you know, Joe Rogan, Antonio Brown, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. Like, besides those guys, and a couple, I mean, obviously some other people, fucking Oprah, we're all basically pretty average. And I think another thing, too, is that the internet sets unrealistic, for most of us, sets unrealistic goals. Like, on Instagram, we're only showing off, like, the good in our lives. No one's really posting, like, the shittiness of their lives. No one wants to say it. Unless you're one of those people on Facebook, which also, fuck you, because I don't want to see what's bad in your life all the time. The people that complain on Facebook, which I also was at one point. Like, besides that, all you're doing is showing off the good in your life. You know what I mean? And another thing that he mentioned was millennials getting an unfair portion of blame in the world, which I agree completely, dude. Like, they didn't create this world. They grew up in a world that the older generations created for them. You know? So if the older generations want to bitch at the The millennials? Dude, fucking look in the mirror. You created this world, dude. You kidding me? I think a lot, too, of, a lot of my insecurities revolved around, like ridiculous narratives of, masculinity, right? That's the word that I'm looking for. Masculinity that was, just circulating throughout the culture that we grew up in. That's still circulating, I guess, you know? Like, the cool guys that party, the cool guys that are banging all the girls, they get tons of girls. Maybe the boring or ordinary life, is that for a reason? Like, maybe that's how it's supposed to be. You know, that's why it just feels natural. I'm not saying, the point of this book is not to not try. It's just, don't just try to be famous. Try to do something, take social media, take reality TV, take that shit out of the picture, and just maybe don't watch TV for a couple of days. Don't watch TV for a week. Don't go on social media for a week. People that, say they want to find themselves, fucking get off social media, don't watch TV, and just figure out, what makes you happy? What makes you excited to go do? Damn, I need to take my own fucking advice. But do you get what I'm saying? If you want to be happy, you need to work for it. Figure out what makes you happy. Meditating makes me so happy. There's so many apps that can help you meditate. So not all social media, internet is bad. They're just tools. These are all tools, and some of us abuse these tools. You know? You're always choosing. Entitlement. You're passing your problems to others. Temporary relief, yeah. It's a temporary high. It's like a side effect of the internet and social media. Like the tools. Like I was just saying. Another weird thing, too, that they were talking about was I think basically there's Twitter, Facebook-ish, is that public blame, the shame game, you know? That's the cool thing to do. It's rewarding to be the victim of things. And let me pause real quick and say there are victims. I know this. But some of it is for attention or a way to avoid their real problems. So oh my God, this happened to that person. Okay, well, I'm going to say that happened to me too, because one time it almost kind of did, sort of. Right? there was one story. This wasn't from the book. This was a story that I heard in another podcast where he was trying to, he was explaining it, when 9/11 happened, he was telling people, oh my God, I used to get coffee outside of there, outside of the tower every day. Really what happened, he didn't get coffee out there every day. He got coffee out there once or twice. He just wanted to relate to people. He wanted people to know that affected him. You get what I'm saying? People want the attention. You want to fit in. Everybody wants to be accepted. Fuck, I want to be accepted too. It's like outrage porn. You know? It's good for business, right? It's good for the news, right? The news, why do you think the news shows all these fucking stories about racist books in schools, gender pronouns, fucking Christmas versus winter break. Because the outrage that you're not going to, not everybody's going to accept it. It's easy to write about that, right? The fucking news, something mildly offensive gets blown out of proportion, which then outrages the other side and so on. It's, remember, did you ever play the Atari game Pong, where it's just tink, 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 tink? That's what outrage porn is. And it takes the attention away from the real victims, right? If you're offended by everything, it's harder to empathize with you. When you get offended by everything, you know that fucking person? I personally know one of these people. They're in my family. They get offended by everything. I can't deal with that. I don't want to hear about it. I want to have fun conversations. I don't want to hear about how everything's offending you or everything Trump does or Hillary does is just pissing you off. I don't care that much, to be honest. It's addicting, basically, to be the victim. Because if you're always the victim, you're doing no wrong in your perspective. Yeah. Like, it gives you, every time you're the victim, it kind of gives you, like, a little high. You gotta pick your battles. Also, something that this book helped me do was change what I give a fuck about, you know? You gotta open your views a little bit. Everything changes, too. That's like for the older people that get so mad at younger people for doing stuff. Dude, shit changes. I don't want to listen to 40s music if I'm with an old person. But they don't want to listen to my shit. So choose what you give a fuck about. How about we meet in the middle somewhere? Can we meet in the middle? Some 90s, some 70s, 80s? Instead of like just attacking people all the time. Oh, your music sucks. All right, well, I think your music sucks. And then that's an argument, right? Oh, or like the Christmas versus winter break. Oh my God, why do the kids have to call it winter break instead of Christmas break? Hey man, shit changes. There used to be people zoos. Google it. They used to take people. This is true. They took people from Africa, made an Africa exhibit. Took people from Russia, made a Russian exhibit. Actually, no, it was mainly like black people, which is so fucked up. There was people in a zoo. You know how you pay to go see animals? Yeah, you paid to go see people in cages. Shit changes. There's a thing that he talked about a lot. It's called Manson's Law of Avoidance. And basically what it is the more something threatens your identity, the more you will avoid it. That's Manson's Law of Avoidance. So if something is threatening to change you, the more you're going to say, I'm okay with that. You know what I'm talking about? There's a comfort in knowing where you fit into the world or society, whatever. Change is scary. Trust me, I know. This whole little change I went through of like starting to be busy, it was scary. But not trying is way more scary. For me, it was like taking the podcast, for example. For me, it was the podcast no one likes is way scarier than the podcast no one has heard. So then I was like, oh, well, I don't want to do a podcast because I don't want people to not like it. I would rather just have them not hear it. And when you admit your faults, you can learn and then fix them. And it's like if it's your screwed up versus the world is screwed up, chances are this one's on you. You know what I mean? If it's like, okay, either I'm screwed up or the world's screwed up. Chances are the world isn't screwed up. It's probably you're screwed up. he was talking about like when he went to Russia, how they were a no nonsense, right? They're like there's no fakeness in Russian people. There's no pretending to be friends. There's no buying things you don't want. And then it made him think, which made me think, and I've already thought this way, that like our economic system promotes such deception. See, if you don't reject something, then you're standing for nothing. Right? Like you gotta have value, some is what I'm saying. Without values, you live basically a life with just no purpose. If you're avoiding rejections on both sides, they're like sold as that temporary high, that like good feeling. And here's the thing. Valuing something means not valuing something else. If that like if you value this, you gotta just not give a fuck about that. If you value that, you can't give a fuck about this. And it's like honesty, whether that's with yourself or with somebody else, that's a craving. Like, why else would you feel so guilty when you lie, either to yourself or to somebody else? You know what I mean? But that means if you're gonna be honest with people, you need to be able to say and hear no. Okay? You got to be able to reject people and you got to be able to just accept rejection. Because it's going to happen. You're going to fucking fail. Listen, if you take anything away from Gary Vee, you need to know that you're going to fucking fail. And you're going to fail and fail and fail. But it only takes one time for you to fucking hit. Boom, you're good to go. He was saying that, I don't know if this is true. I mean, I'm assuming it's true. I didn't Google it, but romantic love stimulates the same part of the brain as cocaine does. You know what I mean? Like that high, that feel good. It feels good, exactly that. But it also creates as many problems as it creates good feelings. That's what, like, most elements that we pursue. About love is like the dramatic and dizzying emotional display of affection. You know, the ups and downs. That's not healthy or genuine. If you're only going after like that dramatic, emotional, that just what I said, that dramatic and dizzying emotional display of affection, of the ups and downs, that's not healthy. Romeo and Juliet, right? Shakespeare, everybody thinks it's like this super romantic thing that says you should do anything for love. What if Shakespeare was saying, keep out? You know what I mean? What if he was saying, because what happens? Fucking the two families hate each other. Juliet, she's not communicating with Romeo. She takes this shit to put her in like a coma slash sleep. He thinks she's dead. And then he kills himself. She wakes up. He's dead. Doesn't she off herself too? That's because they weren't communicating. They were just focused on like just the romantic aspect. Unhealthy love is like two people trying to escape problems through emotions. Healthy love is both people accepting and supporting problems. If you're in a relationship and you guys don't really accept that you have problems, or you don't admit that you have problems, or they don't accept, they like get mad at one of your problems that you have, dude, that's not love, and you gotta get out. If you want to do a litmus test, say if I or they, or if they or I refuse something, how would the relationship change? Right? If it's a blowout, if everybody gets pissed off, it's bad. Then it's based on fucking like superficial benefits that receive somehow. Don't center yourself with the person you love ever. Jenny gets mad at me, but she loves me and I love her. Trust is basically a china plate. If it breaks once, you put it back together with a lot of work, right? If you drop it again, it's going to get way harder to put that thing back together, right? Because it's going to break into more pieces. If you drop that again, it's going to be harder and harder and harder and harder and harder. Basically, like, the last thing I'll talk about on this one is Ernest Becker. He talked about how everything we do is subconsciously to be remembered when we die. Basically, we do things so our name never truly, quote-unquote, dies, right? Mental illness, trauma, shame, social ridicule, failure, that all brings on death terror. Right? What I'm saying is something traumatic like that is going to put fear inside of you. And the fear drives us to give way too many fucks about shit that we shouldn't care about. You know what I mean? Like, you just care too much if something bad happens and, like, it's something that really tears you down, you're going to be scared for a long time. You're going to give too many fucks. And we're all kind of, we're all chasing, you know, we chase a lot of shit. We chase fame. Or likes on a post. But death is going to confront us with the question, what is your legacy? You know? How will the world be better or different when you're gone? And those likes and shit that we're chasing, all that bullshit we're chasing on social media is not, I don't think that's the answer. You guys know what I'm saying? I don't know. I just thought that was a really cool book. And I just wanted to share it out with you guys. That's all. Because we're a cult, baby. And I don't know. I just, it helped me, so I wanted to try and help you guys. That's all that is. I guess the last thing on this podcast is, like, if you guys are enjoying it, please, please, please go rate it on iTunes. Leave a review. That will help so much. I'm not asking you guys for money or anything. I just, if you guys could go like it and leave a review on whatever you listen to it on, that would be super cool. If you guys don't listen to it on iTunes, what you can do, go on YouTube. You don't have to listen to it again, but just subscribe to, it's just John Thozeski, JonThozeski. Or you could type in this, that, and those. Just like the video and subscribe, leave a comment, that'd be cool. Make sure you vote on the Twitter poll. Make sure, oh, when I put those Instagram things up, for sure, ask me some shit. I want to help you guys out. If you got questions about life, you got questions about whatever, ask away. Also, me and Dan are going to be doing a fantasy football stardom sit-em when the season starts. I just want to start plugging that now. And, yeah, I think that's about it for today. Oh, shit, the song for the day. What song do we want to hear tonight, guys? Oh, also, that book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, I think you can get it basically everywhere now. I think Target has it, too. It's pretty cheap, like, might be $20. That's at Target, so you know it's pretty cheap then. Anyway, guys, yeah, that's it for this one. I hope you guys have great weeks, and until next time, peace.
Drop it like it's hot. When the pigs try to get at you, park it like it's hot. Park it like it's hot. Park it like it's hot. And if a nigga get an attitude, pop it like it's hot. Pop it like it's hot. Pop it like it's hot. I got the rollie on my arm and I'm pouring Chandon and I roll the best weed cause I got it going on. I'm a nice dude with some nice dreams. See these ice cubes, see these ice creams. Eligible bachelor, $1 million bow. That's whiter than what's spilling down your throat. The phantom, exterior like Chris Eggs. The interior like suicide, red. I can exercise you. Just